morning. I tell you, I'm so thankful for this choir and praise team and praise band. They just are giving God the best that they've got, and we're so thankful for them. And it fires me up to get ready to preach. And so I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Thank you, Mark. Romans chapter 1, and today I have a message for all of us. Now, I especially want our young people to really gear into this morning, knowing that we were going to have our graduates recognized. I wanted to speak something that I believe can really encourage you in the days ahead as you continue on in this journey of life. And I want to talk to you out of Romans chapter 1, out of one verse, verse 16. And in this verse, what we're going to see is a command, a call for us to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Graduates, you are being sent out. Wherever you go, some of you may be staying close to home here. Others may be going further away. But wherever you're going, you're being sent out. You're being sent out by us. You're being sent out by your family. You're being sent out by the Lord. And I want to remind all of us in this room today that that's what God has done in each of our lives, is He has sent us somewhere. He has put us in a position. He's taken us to a place. He's given us a career, a job. He's given us a family. He's given us a calling. And we have all been sent out by God, by Jesus. He's commissioned us and called us and has set us in the direction that we are going. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Christians there in Rome. And he's not been to visit them yet. He is sure that he's going to get there one day, and the Lord's going to get him there one day to visit the people there, the Christians in Rome, and to represent Christ there amongst that imperial city. And as we begin to read this, I just want to kind of set the stage for you a little bit. As he writes here to the Christians in Rome, Rome was the capital city of the Roman Empire. So that meant it was a noteworthy city. It was a powerful and prestigious city. It was a place that was known for its not only its power and military strength and what that represented, but it was also known for its wealth and its citizenship. It was an intellectual place. Philosophies came from Rome. And so you had intellectuals, you had powerful people, you had wealthy people. It was also an immoral city. Sin ran rampant in the city of Rome with prostitution and the worship of false gods and just on and on and on. It was a very immoral city. Rome, if you will, reminds me of our nation today. When we think about all that Rome was, it reminds me of how we are here in our nation today. And so I believe what Paul says is very applicable for us as we think about how God has sent us out to the place where He has us. I want you to look at what Paul says, this powerful verse of Scripture. Here's what he says, starting in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also the Greek. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that you would help us today to understand how important the gospel is, that the gospel changes our lives, that we need the gospel every day. And God, that no matter where we are, no matter who we're with, no matter what the situation is, that we should be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us today leave here emboldened to live sold out for you, Jesus, in every place, in every area of our lives, and it's in Christ's name that we pray, amen. Culture When I say culture, I refer to our society, the world in which we live in. Our culture, our society, the world, as it will, is on a downward spiral. Do you realize that today? Now, those of you who have been here on this earth for more years than other people have, okay? Try to figure out a right way to say that. You're shaking your head. Yes, absolutely. This world is going downhill. We are on a downward spiral, and you can think back on the way some things were a long time ago in our society, and you say, man, it has just gotten worse. The immorality has gotten worse. I mean, it's a difficult place. And in fact, you're probably praying for your grandkids, and you're praying for your kids, and you're saying, man, I would hate to be going through what they are going through, what they have to go through in this world today. And that's the truth. So listen to me. You need to understand this. All of us in here, young, old, we need to understand that things are going in the wrong direction in this world. And here's the truth. Things are going to continue going in a downward spiraling direction until Jesus comes back. Listen to me. The world has no answer, has no solution to the problems that we all face, to the sin, the immorality, the destruction, the darkness. Now, the world, the culture, the society will try to tell you that it has the answer, but those answers just take us further down and further in the darkness and bring us to an even worse place. The only answer is Jesus Christ. And so we say, Lord Jesus, come and come quickly, because we know you're the only one that can set this thing straight. You're the only one that can fix all this mess and get things right. And here's some good news. One day, Jesus is going to return, and he's going to do that. But we live in this reality. We got to understand, God has us here in this moment, in this time, in this day, in this age, for a reason and a purpose. It's not by accident that you're here. God has planned for you to be here today. He has planned to send you where he has sent you, and it is because his desire in your life is for you to have an impact through the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. So here's the thing. Our world, this culture that's spiraling downhill, leaves us in a place where if we're not careful, we are pressured to conform to this world. We are pressured to go with the flow of the culture. There is a pressure placed upon all of us to do what everyone else does, to do what we hear on the news, to do what we hear from the latest celebrity, to do what we hear from the latest podcaster, because all these people think they have the right answer. And they're going to tell you, this is how you need to live, this is how you need to act, this is what you need to do, this is where you need to go. And many, many people will go down that pathway. They will follow that current of culture. And so there's a pressure upon you and me who have called upon the name of Jesus to just simply go along just so we can get along. To go with things just so we think we might get a leg up or things might be easier. Now, so there is this pressure to conform to this world, but the gospel is the only answer for our life. The gospel is the only thing that will change us and help us have the kind of life God has called us to. So here's where I'm going with all this. Because there is so much pressure on all of us, old, young, and everyone in between, because there's so much pressure through social media, the news, your friends, your professors, your teachers, your family, athletes, because there is so much pressure, it can cause us to live a life that represents being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to these Christians in Rome, that city, And he says, I want you to know, one day I'm going to come, but I want you to know this. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's look at that a little bit. What causes Christians to be ashamed of Jesus, to be ashamed of the gospel? Well, number one, we just really talked about it. Culture opposes the truth of the gospel. And because the culture in the world around us opposes the gospel, opposes Jesus, opposes the truth, there's pressure on you and me to be ashamed of that gospel. I remember when I was probably about 19 or 20, I was in a college class, and I was in this class, and it was archaeology. I was in this archaeology class because, and some of you can relate to this, and others of you are going to think, really? But I was in this class because I had to drop out of biology. And my wife is a master in biology. She got her master's degree in biology. So, well, we weren't married yet. So I had to drop out of biology because that thing wasn't looking good for me. And my friend said, you need to take archaeology. That's an easy A. So, you know, you're going to find out there's going to be some classes where people are going to tell you, hey, if you'll take that professor, you're going to be all right. And so I said, all right, I'm going to sign up for archaeology, and I'm going to take that. How hard can the study of rocks be, you know? And so I go into this archaeology class, and of course, you know what that's all about is, you know, the world is, we get in there, and it's all about, hey, the world's a gazillion years old. That's what he's telling me, right? And now I'm the son of a Southern Baptist preacher, and I've been taught the word from the time I was a little boy, and so, you know, I'm just sitting there like, what's this guy talking about? You know, the world is a gazillion years old. I mean, it's billions and millions of years old, and hey, this world, we're all here, and this all came about by chance, he would say. By chance that there was this big bang and somehow life appeared. He said, we can't, it's hard for us to really explain it, but there was just some big bang and everything happened perfectly and all of a sudden, you know, it just, everything was put together right and life appeared and we have life. And man, if everything wasn't perfect, we would have no life, you know, but this big bang caused all of this. And then went on to say, and you know, humanity has evolved over all these gazillions of years. It's evolved and that all of us in this room, we evolved from apes. And somehow, studying rocks, we could figure all of this out. And so, you know, I'm just listening in on all of this. And week by week, this goes on. And then finally, all of a sudden, one week, one day in class, he says, I'm going to tell you about another theory because I want to cover some of these other theories. And he says, I want to tell you about another theory. He said, this other theory is Jesus Christ. But he kind of laughed when he said it. And so we began to say that with this theory, these people that believe in Jesus Christ believe the earth is probably 6 to 15,000 years old and that Jesus Christ created it. And that's where it came from. That he created humanity. He created man and woman, and their names were Adam and Eve, and he created them in this Garden of Eden. And they didn't evolve from monkeys and apes, but he created them, and that he created them in their own image. Now, he probably didn't say created them in their own image. I threw that one in there. But that this didn't come from this evolutionary theory. And And then what he said next made my mouth hit the floor. He said, and these people believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and that he was raised on the third day. But at this point, if you were in the class, you knew and you could tell that he was mocking Jesus. He was mocking the gospel. He was mocking those that would believe in this truth. And in fact, he would say things throughout this discussion. And I mean, the class would begin to all burst out in laughter as he was pointing and prodding and making fun of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he made this statement. He said, and maybe there might be some of you, someone in here that believes this. Ah, ha, ha, everybody laughed. And there I was sitting in that class. Now, if you don't know me very well, I'll tell you what I did. If you know me, you already know what I did. But my hand went up. I said, that's me. That's what I believe. Now, here's why I tell you that story. Because that's the culture we live in. The world we live in opposes the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the majority of people will laugh and snicker and make fun of you and me for standing and saying, I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me say something to the graduates here and the upcoming seniors and our upcoming juniors and sophomores and freshmen and middle schoolers and elementary schoolers, kids, listen to me now. You are going to encounter in college, in high school, in middle school, in elementary school, people that oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what the devil is trying to do is pressure you to conform and to be ashamed of Jesus. And you're going to come at moments in your life where you are either going to shrink back and say, I won't be counted, or you're going to step up and say, I will be counted with Jesus. I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now, this goes beyond the students in here today. Because you're a business person, and you're traveling places, and you're having meetings, and you're meeting with people, you're going places, you're around other groups, you have bosses and co-workers, and you're around those that are of that same line that they would say they oppose the gospel, and this is all ridiculous, and they're going to make fun of, they're going to poke at you, and you sometimes are going to be in a position where you're afraid to stand for Jesus because I'm not going to get a promotion if I do that. They're going to fire me. Now, I can't tell our kids to stand up for Jesus and not tell you to stand up for Jesus. Paul says, I am unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That trumps everything else. And so you're going to find yourself in a position where you're with your coworkers and they're doing something that you know they shouldn't be doing, you shouldn't take part in, and they're going to ask you, why are you not coming here with us? Why are you not doing this with us? My question to you is, what's your response going to be? I'm going to tell you right now, your response should be because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the answer. We live and operate in our lives based on the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must be unashamed of the Lord Jesus because of who he is and what he has done for us and the power of this gospel. You and I encounter it. Paul encountered it in his day, in the first century. And we encounter it in our day as well. And I just want to say something. You know, we're coming to the end of the school year, and I am amazed at how many teachers we have in our congregation. And I just want to say something. Thank you to our teachers. We appreciate you. I appreciate you as a pastor that we have sent you out from this place into a mission field. And I thank you. Can we give them a hand? All of our teachers. All right, good. And so no matter what your profession is, no matter what you're doing, God has not called you to be silent, but take your Bible with you where you go. Have your Bible on your desk. Don't be afraid to pray out loud. Don't be afraid to listen to and sing worship music. Always take a stand for Jesus. Don't be silent. Even though this culture will, I'm telling you, the culture will oppose you. You must decide now that you will be unashamed of the gospel. Well, one of the reasons why Paul is unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ is because it says here in verse 16, it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. You got to understand, there's only one gospel, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Culture says everyone can have their own truth. You know this. Everyone believes they can have their own truth. You have your truth, I have my truth, and as long as we believe it, then everything's okay. Wrong? That's not accurate. So the world that tells you that is telling you a lie. They're not telling you the truth. There is only the truth of God's word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are not many truths that lead us to God. There are not many ways to Jesus and to God. There's only one way, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, listen, this is where the gospel came from, Romans 1:1. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Who gave us the gospel? God gave us the gospel. Man didn't give us the gospel. God gave us the gospel. It's His gospel. It's the truth of His word. It is His truth. God did create us in His image. That's the gospel. He created us in the beginning. He created us male and female. He created us. And He has created us in His image. We have sinned against God. We decided to operate outside of God's will, outside of God's perfect design. And when we made that decision, we sinned against Him. And what has sin done? Sin has separated us from Almighty God. It's broken the relationship and the fellowship that we had with God. It's left us broken and in bondage to sin. And so we're broken and we're in a broken world, all because of sin. Sin has separated us. But the gospel says that God sent His only Son, Jesus, and that Jesus died for our sin. I can't make my way to God. There's not a bunch of ways to God. There's only one way. Jesus came. And Jesus died on the cross for your sin. And Jesus rose on the third day to make us whole and to bring us back to God when we repent and believe and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, the gospel changes our lives. It's not what Oprah says. It's not what maybe a politician may say. It's not what the latest podcaster may say. The gospel message is simple, and the gospel message is the truth, and the gospel message is everything, and only the gospel will transform and change your life and make you whole in a broken world. And it is the truth that Jesus is the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way. Jesus says there's a wide gate or a wide door. There's a wide path, and many go that way. You know who the many are? That's the world. Many go that way. It's an easy way to go, and everybody's going it. But He said there's a narrow way, and few take that way. Jesus is that narrow way. There's not a lot of ways. There's only one way. Jesus is the only way. And listen to me. Listen to me. Jesus changes our lives. Rome thought the gospel was ridiculous. Why did they think it was so ridiculous? Well, because number one, the gospel tells us that a Jewish carpenter died on a Roman cross. Rome had conquered the Jews. They were in control of Jerusalem and Israel, and Rome was the power. They had conquered the world. They had conquered the Jews, and they had nailed Jesus, a Jewish carpenter, upon a Roman cross, and there he bled and he died. So a Roman citizen would say, how can that be salvation? Yet Paul is taking this gospel to Rome, and he says, I am not ashamed. Why? Why is that ridiculous? And why is Paul not ashamed? Well, keep looking at verse 16 with me. He says, because the gospel, it is the power of God for salvation. He's not ashamed. And you and I must not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because why? It's the power of God. The power of God. Not the power of man. Not the power of a politician. Not the power of a professor. Not the power of this world, not the power of this culture, but the gospel is the power of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul says, the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The world says this is foolish. Rome says this is foolish. The culture says this is foolish. But it is the power of God to those who are being saved. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. You see, this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is not good advice. You don't clump the gospel in with all the other advice everybody's given you. Listen to me. This is not some good advice. The gospel is the absolute power of God. God Almighty, who created it all and sustains it all, says the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God. Power, the dunamis, the dynamic, dynamite, power of God. Only the gospel has the power to transform your life, to transform this world, because it is the power of God. That word power is this word dynamite or dynamic or transformative. The gospel transforms lives. There's a man that I know by the name of Justin, and he was raised in a home filled with drugs and alcohol. So, I mean, before he was a teenager, he was already on drugs. He began to sell drugs and be a drug dealer, and his life was miserable. It was dark. It was broken. It was hopeless. And Justin, as he was going through this terrible life, doing things that many people wouldn't even know about at his age, with addiction and chaos and darkness, he was struggling. But then, as he became a man, even though he was going through all of that darkness, his life was transformed. And I'm going to tell you how it was transformed. Somebody told him about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he heard the gospel. and he believed the gospel and he trusted in Jesus and his life was changed. Everything changed in his life. His life was transformed. He went from being an addict and a dealer to all of a sudden being sold out for Jesus. He got clean, he got right. The next thing you know, he started telling all of his druggy friends about Jesus. And can you believe what happened? They started trusting in Jesus when they heard the gospel. And now his friends were all getting clean and getting right with God. Next thing you know, as he's being transformed by the gospel, he started a new ministry for himself and his friends in the community that were leaving the drug world to come into the kingdom of God. And so he started a ministry, and I love what he calls this ministry. He calls it the Overcomers Group. And it meets in a church, and the church opened up their gym, and Justin meets with dozens and dozens, many, many people come every Sunday morning for Sunday school into the Overcomers Group. And it's a group of men and women who have left drugs behind, they have been transformed by the gospel, and they're working through the gospel message together. This ministry has had a powerful, powerful impact. Not only that, but now Justin serves as the main spokesperson and representative for drug and addiction in his county and the surrounding areas. I mean, I'm telling you, the local government brings him in and sits him in front of people so that he can tell them how his life was changed and transformed. Here's why all that happened. Here's why. Because the gospel alone has the transforming power of God. Nothing else does. Nothing else can transform a life like that. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God. And as we close, I want you to see this. It says, this is the power of God for salvation. The power of God for salvation. That's what we need. That's what this world needs. We need salvation. Our sin forgiven. We need God to do something inside of us to change our heart, to put his spirit in us when we call out to him by faith. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and also to the Greek. The Bible condenses people down into really two categories, Jewish or not Jewish. So you were either a Jew or a Gentile, or in this case, a Greek, which represented Gentiles. And what Paul says is the gospel's for everyone, no matter your background, no matter your ethnicity, no matter where you come from. Maybe you were raised in a great family with two parents who loved you and provided for you, but I'm telling you, you need the gospel, and Paul says the gospel is for you. And maybe you're here today and you came from a broken family, you came from drug, you came from alcohol, you came from pornography, you came from immorality, you came from homelessness and brokenness, and you say, nobody loves me, nothing can change my life, nothing can change my family. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God to change anyone's life. It doesn't matter where you've come from or what you have done. Jesus can change and will change your life. He says, I am not ashamed because the gospel is for you. It's for everyone. Listen, this is the message we take with us. Wherever we go, whatever we do, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your head with me for a moment. Father, as we pray, Lord, some of us in this room have been living really shamefully in relation to the gospel. We've been ashamed of you with our friends, our co-workers, the people we come in contact with, because the pressure of this world was just so much that we succumbed to that pressure. Lord, right now I ask that in the hearts of all of us that we would decide right now and make the decision that moving forward from this day on, there will never be a moment, there will never be a time, there will never be a place where we're afraid to stand up and be counted for the gospel, that we will be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, there may be someone here today that they have been wrestling with, does God really love me? Can He really change this broken, battered, hurt person that I am? Lord, I'm so thankful that that's all of our stories. That before Paul was saved and called this ambassador of Christ who was unashamed of the gospel, that he was a murderer. He opposed you, God. He opposed Jesus. He was a part of killing Christians because he opposed the way. But then he realized and recognized you when you met him, Jesus, and he said, Jesus, you're my Lord and you're my Savior, and his life was never the same. May each of us in here know today that no matter how far we've fallen, no matter how far down we are this morning, that Jesus, by the power of the gospel, you can change our lives. Lord, if there's just one person or many people in this room that need to surrender their life to you, Jesus, would they do it right now? Right now, when we stand, that they would just leave their place and they would come forward and say, preacher, I'm trusting in Jesus. Lord, move us during this time. Holy Spirit, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please stand to your feet. As we sing, come to the altar now. Visit with me. Tell us about your decision. Don't wait.